Good morning, and welcome to our worship service. We will be following Divine Service Setting 4, beginning on page 203. And for our visitors especially, take note of the yellow insert that has the readings, but also the intro it and the gradual, which we'll sing from that. And our hymns for today, you can mark these ahead of time. Opening hymn 825, Rise, Shine, You People. Hymn of the Day 849, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness. During distribution, we'll sing 725, Children of the Heavenly Father, 620, Jesus Comes Today with Healing, 533, Jesus Has Come and Brings Pleasure. Our closing hymn, 726, Evening and Morning. Today, we will also be officially re-welcoming Jim Clark as a member, and so we'll have a little rite. I'll ask Jim to come forward after the sermon. Many of you already know him. He was baptized, confirmed, married here, and his brother Jerry is our elder today. And anyway, it will be nice to officially bring him back. I encourage you to say hello and embrace him as part of our family. And coming up in October is our voters meeting where we will elect people to serve in various positions on boards and offices. So I know many of you are so eager. All right. You know people who will be good candidates. So there'll be a nomination. Their nomination forms in the back. And I'll ask the ushers to hand these out and make sure that you get one in your hand as you prepare to leave so you can nominate and consider serving. These are important positions, so we're grateful for everybody who serves. We certainly can't do what we do without all that volunteer service. And also, we have a youth bonfire next Sunday. So for those youth and parents who are here, we could talk about, you know, at the end, we'll congregate in the back and talk about what that's all about and those who can help, how you might be able to participate with that. Everybody is invited, youth of any age. So that's it. Okay, well, let's begin with our opening hymn. the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Our help is in the name of the Lord. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand? Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God, have mercy upon us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Turn to the yellow sheet and sing together the introit.
Thank you.
The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord Jesus Christ, our support and defense in every need, continue to preserve your church in safety. Govern her by your goodness and bless her with your peace. For you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 50. The Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him who is weary. Morning by morning he awakens. He awakens my ear to hear as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I turned not backward. I gave my back to those who strike, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I hid not my face from disgrace and spitting. But the Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is my adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God helps us. Who will declare me guilty? Behold, all of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of the servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. This is the word of the Lord. We sing together the gradual.
Fear the Lord, his saints.
The epistle is from James chapter 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouths of horses so that they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire, and the tongue is a fire, a world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, staining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature can be tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it, we bless our Lord and Father, and with it, we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. This is the word of the Lord. Please stand in honor of the gospel. The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter. When they came to the disciples, they saw a great crowd around them and scribes arguing with them. And immediately all the crowd, when they saw him, were greatly amazed and ran up to Jesus and greeted him and asked them, "What are you arguing about with them?" And someone from the crowd answered him, "Teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams and grinds his teeth and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able." And he answered them, "O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him to me." And they brought the boy to him. And when their spirit saw him, immediately it convulsed the boy, and he fell on the ground and rolled about, foaming at the mouth. And Jesus asked his father, "How long has this been happening to him?" And he said, "From childhood. It has often cast him into fire, into water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." And Jesus said to him, "If you can, all things are possible for one who believes." Immediately the father of the child cried out and said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And when Jesus saw that the crowd came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "You mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again." And after crying out and convulsing him terribly, it came out, and the boy was like a corpse, so that most of them said, "He is dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. And when he had entered the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast it out?" And he said to them, "This kind cannot be driven out by anything but prayer." This is the gospel of the Lord. Together we confess our faith as written in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit, Virgin Mary, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, spoke by the prophet. I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge my baptism for the sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead, and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Thank you.
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Jesus says, what are you arguing about with them? Jesus, along with Peter, James, and John, were returning from being up on the mountain where Jesus had been transfigured in their presence. And so Jesus is asking the crowd who ran to greet him why they were arguing with the disciples and the ones who had remained behind. Father of the boy we hear about answers for the crowd, teacher, I brought my son to you, for he has a spirit that makes him mute, and whenever it seizes him, it throws him down, and he foams, it grinds his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I asked your disciples to cast it out, and they were not able. This poor father has been witnessing this for years, standing by helpless as the spirit just takes control of his son, threatening his life, throwing him into fire and water, and, well, he's probably at his wit's end, so he's asked the disciples to cast out the spirit. They can't do it. So that's what they're arguing about. But why are they arguing? If someone asks you to do something that you cannot do, you would simply say, I'm sorry, I cannot do that. So we don't know particulars. Maybe the father, full of desperate emotion, has pressed the matter, maybe pressing too hard, knowing that the disciples had cast out demons before. Maybe the disciples made excuses when they failed. Maybe they started blaming somebody else for their inability. That would certainly fuel the argument. We don't know the particulars, but based on Jesus' response, O faithless generation, it sounds like everybody there is guilty of a lack of faith. James, in his epistle, he provides some helpful insight. What causes quarrels and what causes fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? You desire and do not have, so you murder. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Passion, desires, coveting, not asking. Asking wrongly all seem to be part of what makes quarrels and fights. And the crowd, the disciples are demonstrating this. They desire to cast out the spirit, but there's something wrong with the way they're asking. And Jesus is there to help and to teach. Now, Jesus teaches with words, but also through example. First, he does not avoid the problem. Jesus is the great reconciler. He has reconciled us with God and empowers us to reconcile. And he gets to the heart of the problem. What are you arguing about? He then responds to their answer with a rebuke. O faithless generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Harsh as it may sound, Jesus cannot help them if they think that they can continue as they are. They need to hear this and take it to heart. Whether or not they do so is up to them. Well, Jesus speaks to you and me also through his word, words that we need to hear, words we need to take to heart. And whether we do it or not is up to us. And Jesus shows his love to you also. But he can't help you if you resist, you know, if you want to insist on continuing as you are. Well, we see how the crowd responds to Jesus' word. They do apparently hear his rebuke and take it to heart. The crowd that had been all worked up and arguing, they now obediently respond to his request to bring the boy to him. Jesus' words both convicted them of their faithlessness and gave them the ability to respond with faith and obedience. Now, Jesus is still teaching. As the unclean spirit throws the boy into another convulsive seizure, Jesus demonstrates his concern for the father and the boy. He calmly talks to the father and listens to his concerns and draws out the father's prayer. if you could do anything, have compassion on us and help us. A meek but sincere prayer for help. Jesus responds with another rebuke. If you can, all things are possible for one who believes. The father's response? Immediately, the father of a child cried out and said, I believe. Help my unbelief. Jesus draws out a beautiful prayer from the father. The father believes in Jesus at a basic level, and he confesses this belief. The father also knows that he doesn't truly believe at the most complete, at the deepest level. So he asks Jesus for help with this lack of deep belief. And Jesus responds with compassion, with help, and strengthening of faith. The demon is cast out of the boy. Satan has no power over Jesus. The boy appears to be raised from the dead, but death has no power over Jesus. All things are possible for one who believes. Limited as it is, the father has faith in Jesus. So there's nothing that cannot be done by Jesus for him. We're instructed through the father how to be a true disciple of Jesus. The root of the problem is lack of faith in Jesus. And the solution is faith in Jesus. A true disciple comes to Jesus and doesn't rely on himself. A true disciple also comes to Jesus because he cannot stop relying on himself. You are disciples of Jesus. You believe in Jesus, so you come to him. You also know that you do not truly believe in the most complete and deepest sense, so you come to Jesus to be helped with your unbelief. And Jesus comes to you. He's here to help you through his word and his sacraments. And when you struggle with passions and desires and coveting, Jesus wants you to trust him to provide what you need. And when you need something, Jesus has instructed you to ask. This includes asking for help for yourself and for others, especially when those powerful forces are threatening you and others, threatening to harm them, like the father asking on behalf of his son. These days, there are many powerful forces at work in the world. Satan is still actively working to destroy lives, especially young lives. Unborn babies are still being killed. Children are being deceived and coerced to have these irreversible, mutilating procedures under the lie that they can become a different gender, that they actually have the soul of the opposite gender trapped in their bodies. And they've been coerced into thinking that going through these extreme measures will solve their problems. Well, what can we do? We've been watching this for years, standing by, feeling helpless as the forces of evil harm and take the lives of the young and vulnerable among us. Always speak up for the vulnerable and for the victims. We vote for elected officials who will protect the vulnerable. But most importantly, we pray. We pray to our compassionate God to help, knowing that all things are possible for one who believes. And all that we do in faith in Jesus. Now, is your faith so feeble that you do not think it is possible for Jesus to help to rectify these things? For Jesus to stop abortions? And transgender procedures? Well, hear his rebuke. All things are possible for one who believes. And pray like the Father, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Prayer is not about your effort. It's about leaving the problem in God's hands, letting go, and looking to the Lord for what he can do, what he will do, trusting him. Admit that it's not possible for you to solve these problems, that you're asking for his help because you believe he can help. And that you won't put any limits on what he can do. Now, before Jesus approached that arguing crowd, Jesus had been on that Mount of Transfiguration, as I said, with Peter, James, and John. A cloud overwhelmed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. God the Father declared Jesus his beloved Son. And right after the events of our gospel reading today, the very next verses we read, they went on from there and passed through Galilee. And he did not want anyone to know, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, the Son of Man is going to be delivered into the hands of men, and they will kill him. And when he is killed, after 3 days, he will rise. Jesus was teaching his disciples that he was going to do what was impossible for man to do. He would be delivered into the hands of men, and they would kill him on the altar of the cross. He had come to offer himself as a sacrifice to God for the sins of all mankind. He is the beloved Son of God, and he would give himself up because he would be accepted by God to atone for our sins, to reconcile us with him. And 3 days later, Jesus would rise from the dead, because death and Satan have no power over him. Jesus set his face like a flint, as we hear from Isaiah, resolute to accomplish just that, and nothing is impossible for him. And he's here for you. He's here to rebuke you for your lack of faith and to give you deeper faith in him. He wants to hear your faithful prayer. Lord, we know all things are possible for you. We need your help. We believe. Help us with our unbelief. Amen. And may the peace that passes all understanding keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, I would like Jim to come forward. And he and I will go through this rite of receiving through a profession of faith, a membership. And, why don't you come right here? Put on the glasses. I'm over here. It's great to have you back with us, and our privilege. So, beloved in the Lord, our Lord Jesus Christ said to his apostles, whoever confesses me before men, I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Lift up your hearts, therefore, to the God of all grace, and joyfully give answer to what I now ask you in the name of the Lord. Jim, do you this day in the presence of God and of this congregation acknowledge the gifts that God gave you in your baptism?
Yes, I do.
Do you renounce the devil and all his works and all his ways?
Yes, I renounce them.
Do you believe in God, the Father Almighty, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, and in the Holy Spirit?
Yes, I believe in God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Do you hold all the prophetic and apostolic scriptures to be the inspired word of God and the doctrine of the Evangelical Lutheran Church drawn from them and confessed in the small catechism to be faithful and true?
I do.
Do you intend to hear the word of God and receive the Lord's Supper faithfully?
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you intend to live according to the word of God and in faith, word, and deed to remain true to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even to death?
I do, by the grace of God.
You intend to continue steadfast in this confession and church and to suffer all, even death, rather than fall away from it.
I do, by the grace of God.
Do you desire to become a member of this congregation?
I do.
Will you support the work our gracious Lord has given this congregation with your prayers and the gifts God has given you?
I will, with the help of God.
Upon this, your confession of faith, I acknowledge publicly that you are a member of the Evangelical Lutheran Church and of this congregation. Receive the Lord's Supper and participate with us in all the blessings of salvation that our Lord has given to his church. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, turn and face. Let's welcome the newest member of our congregation. So, thank you. And I forgot to mention the announcements. We have a cake downstairs, so whether you want to get to know Jim or just want cake, come downstairs after the worship service. And I hope you get to know Jim. Please stand as we continue with prayer. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, we believe. Help our unbelief. Sustain us through the many troubles and trials of this world. When unclean spirits afflict us and those that we love, revive our trust in you, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, Heavenly Father, you have given your beloved Son the tongue of one who is taught, that he may know how to sustain with the word those who are weary. Prosper in every place the preaching of your gospel. By your Spirit, enable your pastors to proclaim the word with clarity and joy, and by the same Spirit, open the ears of your children to believe it with gladness and action. Lord, in your mercy. Lord, guard the tongues of our governing authorities, that they may not stumble in what they say, but speak wisely, leading in accord with your will. Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, you have promised that all things are possible for one who believes. In such faith, we bring before you Jeff, Dan, Ben, Lewis, Arlene, Tammy, Marlis, Tim, Greg, Missy, Lacey, Marlene, Kathy, Arlene, Michael, Mark, Jesse, Sarah, Kara, Leah, Marlis, Erno, Ben, Jeff, and all others in need, asking you to grant them health and healing, Lord, in your mercy. Lord God, we know that your Son is near in his Holy Supper, giving in his body and blood his saving righteousness for the forgiveness of sins. Grant repentance and faith to all to come to all who come to his table, that they may welcome him with joy, praying, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Lord, in your mercy. O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he ever stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us, for to you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God, now and forever. Amen. Receive the blessing of our Lord. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. You may be seated as the offering is collected. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and at all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, O Lord our God, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a living tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Take and eat. This is the very body of the Lord Jesus Christ, given unto us. Take and drink the very blood.
body and blood of our Lord.